Hey, good evening, and welcome to our Wednesday Rewind from Believer City Church here in Menominee, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead pastor here at Believer's Church, and we're glad you could join us this evening. Each week, we come together at this time for our rewind, if you will, of our previous Sunday message, and that's the time we look at our Sunday message for its practical life applications. If you are in one of our small groups this evening, then you will have also a chance to discuss the ramifications of those issues to our personal lives and to our local churches. So we are rewinding our Sunday message, our Easter message. Actually, it was entitled Lord or Just Savior, with a text from Romans 14, verses 7 through 9. Let's just jump into it.
It seems, I think, today in which we live, that we can apparently simply check the box for Jesus Christ as Savior and not go for the upgrade. The sign that one has or is being moved by grace is that we are moving in faith. Many of us this morning, we do not understand. We don't really know what that means to be moving in faith. But people that are part of Jesus, that are essentially Jesus, are necessarily living and moving in faith. But we talked a lot about this lately, about the fact that we are his bond slaves, a slave by choice, not a 40-hour-a-week, punch-out-and-go-home kind of relationship, but an all-day-long, every-day. Any attempt to try to somehow make a intellectual assent, to make a decision of the mind for Christ, but not make a full-body encompassing surrender to him, that's going to result ultimately in a life collapse. The problem here lies in the fact that often one's truth in 2025 is not the truth. It is indeed just their truth. Something has happened over the past few years where my truth has, at least in my realm, become the truth. Whether it's vocational or relational or financial or whatever, we want to make the decision and then God gets on board with us. That's not Christianity. It's religion and some weird vacant form of it, but it's religion, not Christianity. Because many of us, we have the best intentions to make things right with God, and we will someday. Someday. Scripture has always been upfront on this matter, even if it's news to us, and maybe it is news to you this morning. Ironically, such a state of commitment and dedication, this concept is rarely, if ever, debated in the earthly realm. But we're still marginalizing Christ so that we can participate in the good life. One little Jesus, Savior, yes, but not a lot of Jesus, Lord, no. As an authentic believer, if you are an authentic believer today, there is nothing withheld from God. There's nothing anymore that is private.
We spoke on Sunday of this modern belief system wherein we can effectively just order up the basic Jesus package, is how we labeled it. The basic Jesus package includes stuff like salvation and favorable standing and treatment, access to God when we need him, and of course, heaven at the end of the contract. Then there is, above and beyond that, what we called the deluxe Jesus package. You know, the deluxe Jesus package is the one that's generally selected by pastors and missionaries and praying grandmas. It provides all of that basic package, all that the basic package contains, but it provides better seats and more access to the Savior and most favorite standing. However, we know the cost is naturally higher for the deluxe. You know, stuff like daily discipleship and a holiness lifestyle and a high commitment level involving evangelism and kingdom service, etc., etc. And naturally, most people just go for the basic package because the deluxe is just more than most people want to get into. Sadly, however, this idea is a ruse at best and a scam at the hands of Satan at worst. Because you see, there are not two versions of Christianity. And for that matter, not three, not four, which again is often the embraced idea in 2025. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us that by grace you have been saved through faith. The sign that one has indeed been saved by that grace is that the same one is actually being moved by that same grace. People generally like the idea of Jesus as Savior. Why wouldn't they? I mean, many will buy into that basic package because it's affordable. It's free. And it has great benefits. I mean, stuff like eternal life, and it really requires little, if any, practical response and involvement from me. Thus, no real time investment. And I can essentially go on living as I've always lived and as I want to live, safe in the understanding that I have my fire insurance in my back pocket. Even if this whole judgment and hellfire thing really isn't real, well, the expense is just, hey, a few Sunday mornings a year, and you know, better safe than sorry, right? It's all a manifestation of the Depeche Mode song, Personal Jesus, if you recall. You know, it's quite a sad acknowledgement, really, to have to remind folks that there is, in fact, only one Jesus, only one Christianity, and only one package. Jesus can never be treated as a buffet line wherein we get to design our Messiah to fit our unique tastes and our individual wants and our personal priorities. Jesus doesn't get to be treated like asparagus or liver. No, there is one Jesus and one meal, and what you see is what you get. No sleight of hand, no secret handshakes. And in case no one has ever told you this profound truth before, let me enlighten you today. The price of being a reborn child of God, effectively, is everything. Now, usually it is at this juncture that people cry foul. They say, whoa, whoa, Pastor, now, isn't salvation a free gift? Oh, yes. I mean, free, definitely free to you and me anyway, but not free to God, the Father, and certainly it wasn't free for Jesus. Salvation is indeed a free gift, but the part of this equation that is often not considered is in salvation, you are not the same person anymore. Once reborn, you are a new creature. This new reborn creature is a spiritual creature now, and one that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You have now made contact with the most powerful energy in all of the universe, and to suggest that such a meeting can happen without some profound results and an extreme transformation, well, that's simply a lie that will cost you eternity. Being a disciple of Christ does not in any way earn you a place in the heavenly line. You need to know that up front. But authentic surrender, which is the act of man at the seat of redemption, Authentic surrender means God is now filling you, controlling you, and yes, owning you. People want to paint this event on par to, you know, like buying a pair of new socks, you know. Wow, profound and life-changing, right? It is, in truth, profound. As profound as a caterpillar being transformed into a butterfly. I mean, plenty of folks will suggest that they are at least on paper a Christian, that they are at least on paper a butterfly, that they are transformed, and yet, ironically, and here's the kicker, they never fly. Furthermore, when the pressure's on, they can't fly. But if you bring this to their attention, they are likely to tell you that such judgments as this are promoting a works-oriented faith. A saved through faith, saved through works approach. But who then can or will bravely bring up the elephant in the room? The fact that the butterfly isn't flying. And well, that seems to be problematic. The butterfly is still crawling, you know, like a caterpillar. Like they did before they had that meeting with a level 5 hurricane named Jesus. The New Testament scriptures use the term bond slaves, and they use that term to describe our post-salvation position before God, and it goes so far as to use that term 22 times. And in doing so, it repeatedly calls us to that full surrender, that full acquiesce to the Spirit's leading for our lives. Now look, slaves do not spend their lives on a couch binging TV and video games. We know the truth, and that is a slave works and works hard. Again, you cannot work to get Jesus in your corner, but hey, if Jesus is in your corner, you will work. And frankly, you'll do so gladly. You'll do so with passion and priority. You're not driven to do so out of guilt and out of peer pressure or fear or requirement. You are driven by love. Now, if Jesus is your salvation today, but not your Lord, then I got to ask you, where are you going? I mean, because if that was possible, it would mean that you have limited our Redeemer only unto saving you from something. In this case, hell. Saving you from hell. But apparently never saving you towards anything, because there's not been any fundamental change. I mean, asking Jesus to be your Savior but not Lord indicates that you are in fact still Lord of your life. You are still in control of areas that you don't want him to touch. On Easter, perhaps more than any other time of the year, we stop to recognize that Christ died for us and rose again from the grave. We tend to grasp that common byline that he did so for the redemption of mankind, to bring salvation to all who desire him. You know the line, Jesus died for our sins. And indeed, Jesus died to bring us positional salvation, and no one can argue that fact, but we must also come to terms with the parallel truth that is in our text this week, that is that he died so that he can stand in the lordship position of our lives. And that text goes, and this is the Living Bible, says, "For we don't live like ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord." So whether we live or die, whether we belong to the Lord, Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. He died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord of the living and of the dead. Now, in a world radical commitment and extreme involvement that is today not only sanctioned but in fact, generally embraced and most of the time even applauded. But when we look at our faith world, when one attempts to live out his faith in that same manner, most often there is an immediate and extreme kickback from the culture around us. Even our family and friends can be quick to attempt to pull us back into the land of reason, if you will. Accusations of cult and radical and controlling, etc., are sure to start being thrown about, even from people who claim that Christ is their Savior. Scripture actually goes into great detail to expand on this concept of bond slave, on the concept of kinsman redeemer. Kinsman redeemer. The practical manifest of being a disciple of Christ is the living out of a lordship relationship. And all of this has one very overwhelming common attribute, and something that we need for the sake of eternity to understand clearly this evening. Jesus is to be Lord, not just our Savior. In fact, He became Lord by being our Savior. Are you with me? He is our Savior, and because He is, we are to let Him be Lord.